It's the QUTV Hawk Talk podcast, another edition. Thank you for joining us. All the boys are here. Wyatt Randolph to my left, Will Connerly and Alex Albuchon across the way. I'm your humble host, Shane Holsey. Thank you for tuning in with us. Busy show here today, fellas. We got plenty of playoff action around national sports to talk about, but we got some local sports on QU as well. Let's start off by having you introduce yourselves and talk about how you're doing today. Beautiful day outside, but we're here in the QUTV podcast studio. Boys, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Shane. I'm feeling $100. Who's ready to talk about some topical news and sports and everything we love and it's keeping us going?
Yeah, it's a nice day outside, as you mentioned. You said introduce ourselves, but they probably know us by now, but I'm Will. True. If they didn't. But it's like a nice day in here, too. It feels kind of good in here. The air's going, so I'm with it.
Oh, yeah, very comfortable air going on in here. I tell you what, if Wyatt's feeling 100, then I'm feeling a milli. It's a beautiful day today.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's a beautiful day to talk about some sports as well. Let's get things started with some sports around QU, albeit the COVID-19 pandemic has caused some halts, some cancellations, some postponements of some fall sports. But we still got some inter-squad games going on amongst teams that are playing in the spring, like baseball, inter-squad scrimmages going on all this week. The QU baseball team had their first inter-squad scrimmage last week. Alex, you're a part of some of those scrimmages. Kind of talk us through what those are kind of like and what the situation's been like trying to play through this.
All right, so it's a much longer process than it used to be. Everybody's got to get there a little earlier because, you know, you have to make sure that you stay distant. You can't have too many people warming up in the same spot at the same time. So, you know, we'll get it started around noon if the game's at, you know, 2 or 2:30. Everybody will show up there. You know, you'll have your throwing going on, very similar to last year. But really, once the game gets started, the only difference is, you know, you're trying to stay away from each other, which on the field you can do naturally because baseball is a pretty well-distanced or socially distanced sport, I should say. But in the dugouts, you know, it's masks and, you know, staying apart until you get out of the dugout or you can distance yourself from others. But as far as the actual baseball aspect goes, it's so nice to finally get back out on the field and finally be able to just see live pitching, throw against live hitters. It feels like normal, I should say, or I could say, more than it has in a very long time.
I was just about to ask you that, if it does feel like when you're out on the field. Will and I had some experience with this summer working for a league down in St. Louis that provided some players a chance to play during everything that was going on. And it kind of felt like when you're at the ballpark, when you strap on the cleats, when you put on that glove, and for you as a pitcher, when you go stepping on that mound, everything around you just kind of disappears and you're just lost in the action.
Exactly, yeah, 100%. Once you step in between those lines, the masks disappear. It doesn't matter. It's just you and the hitter out there. And that's a wonderful thing. That's something sports can do for you. It just, you know, takes you away from the troubles and the problems of your life and just puts you in that moment. And that's what you're focusing on. Everything else going on outside doesn't matter.
Well, I kind of want to direct this to you. Going back to what I kind of just mentioned about our experience this summer, what were some things you took away from that? We talked about it on the TV show the other day, the QUTV Sports This Week show a couple days ago. But what were your experiences with the CarShield Collegiate League, which is what it was called down in St. Louis? What did you kind of take away from that, kind of hash some things out there?
Well, I thought it was a good experience for people to get the opportunity to play because, I mean, Alex and I, we both had our seasons going, and then the season got stopped for college athletes, college baseball players all across the country. And then a few months later, in the St. Louis area, right outside St. Louis and St. Charles, they were allowed, things started opening up there, and people were allowed to play. So they got an opportunity, and I guess one thing that I unpacked from it was that people seemed really grateful to be on the field because they know that the game could be taken from them at any – the game could be taken from them at any time. So they were really grateful that, like, hey, this isn't guaranteed. You know, this – every – you know, they say, like, play each game like it's your last, and I really felt like people, for the most part, really took that to heart there because it could be your last game every time you go out there and you don't think about that. but I think people wanted to play like that. People wanted to play like, you know, it's a brand new season. We're out here to compete and have fun every day. And I really saw that in athletes. And when all sports come back, you know, I guess I just, for me, even personally, took them for granted. And I even learned how much I loved about the game. So just when things go, you just appreciate them a lot more. If you don't really realize what you have sometimes until it's gone.
Yeah, and that was something I was wanting to touch on. This whole the pandemic, everything that was going on, it really does make us appreciate what we have even more. I mean, we always get told as athletes, all of us played sports growing up, any game they tell you could be your last, but we never really thought it really, really could be our last. Like, you know what? No, they're just saying that just so we can play harder and, you know. But really, it really, really could be your last game.
Yeah, it's so weird. Talking about appreciation, going back to what Alex said, is when I was young, the coach would always come out and be like, you gotta focus. You got to keep your head in the game, you know. And before COVID, that was very, you know, I'm sure that was very, you know, hard for people. You know, they get your lives to think about. You got your girlfriend. You got, you know, school. You know, so your mind's always drifting. But now that people have been away from sports so long and they're coming back, I think this is the only time they can really appreciate the focus on the game, because I'm sure they are cutting all of that out. So much, just mentally, just I am. This is all I want. I want to be on the field. I want this feeling of normal. I want to feel like I'm having a good time playing my favorite sport. And I feel like this is that people are getting a greater appreciation coming back, you know, and because the excitement levels are huge, you know, even if it is just people sports slowly coming back, everyone is hype. Everyone is ready to get back into it.
And we all, when we found out, say that, like, first it was like soccer leagues around the world starting to come back playing without fans. Then we heard, oh, the NBA and NHL could do this bubble. And then we're like, what's going to happen with the MLB? And they found a way to figure things out. And now all of a sudden, we're in the middle of the NHL playoffs just wrapped up. We're in the middle of the NBA, or towards the end of the NBA playoffs. The MLB playoffs are getting started. And all this is happening all at once, and we almost don't know what to do with ourselves.
Yeah. I do. Just turn on the TV for sure.
Absorb it all.
Or three or four TVs. Watch laptop, lot. Phone, tablet.
Just have that streaming all the time.
Anything that can stream.
Yeah,
but you do make, I mean, that's a good point. Like, I think that there was a lot of doubt that, like, baseball would happen, you know? So, I mean, credit to, you know, as much heat as the leadership in baseball has taken, like, give credit where credit's due. I mean, they're in the postseason, and I don't know, there's a lot of doubt of things that are going to happen. Like you mentioned, we don't know what to do now. It's like heaven. There's everything. every sport you could pick from. At the final stages of guys trying to compete for championships, and talk about the focus. Yeah. This championship probably requires more focus than any other championship in a lot of ways. I mean, you're in a bubble with a pandemic going on, with the distractions of every single kind, in an election year with all these politics going on. Like, sports always requires focus. It always does to excel at the highest level. You have to be focused and locked in. But I think being locked in and focused is much harder in 2020. And that's why the people who are going to excel are the people who can hone in their craft the best.
And when sports were starting to come back, and we found out that, say, the MLB, they're the NBA and NHL were going to just – the NBA came back and tried to finish a part of the regular season and then go into the bubble and play the playoffs. The NHL said, we're done with the regular season. We're just going to go straight to a play-in round and then into the playoffs. And then the MLB said they were going to play 60 games, which isn't even half of a normal season. So people were saying, oh, the championships are going to have an asterisk next to them and blah, blah, blah. It's not the same. If you ask me, this year is one of the hardest years ever to win a championship in any sport.
100%. If you're putting an asterisk next to it, don't put it as a downside. Put it as a, like, how did they do this? This is crazy. There's so much more going on, like Will said, that the focus is just, it's got to be so difficult. And, you know, as a professional athlete, obviously, you know, focus, preparation, those kind of things are something that you work on and you stay focused on. But, you know, in the broader picture of even, like, not professional athletes, like Wyatt said, there's just so much going on right now. And, I mean, even personally, I didn't think that we were even going to have NFL football, and here we are going into week four. So I'm just – I'm shocked. I'm surprised, but I mean, I absolutely love it. At least we have sports back.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of the NFL, the first ever postponement due to COVID-19 is happening this weekend. The Titans and Steelers are still trying to figure out ways to play that game and maybe play it Monday or Tuesday. That's what the plan is. But it's really, when you think about everything that's gone on and all the postponements and everything that's going on around the world, everything was getting shut down. And for the NFL to make it 3 weeks in a row with no issues whatsoever, hats off to them.
Yeah, what do you feel like any – I don't think anything else besides sports, you know, getting delayed is such a heartbreak right now. You know, a lot of – like besides work, you know, and, mm-hmm. and money.
Yeah.
Know? But, like, a lot of people –
the important stuff.
A lot of people, mm-hmm. like – I feel they're like, all right, that's fine. You know, you can push everything kind of back. But then sports, it's just so devastating. You keep thinking about it.
Especially when we went so long without it.
Yeah.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. Yeah, it's wild time. I don't think I've ever been this excited about sports since I played, like, in high school, you know.
Mm. What are you most excited about?
Oh, you know, I like football. You know, I like to watch football all the time. And then I like hockey, but other than that, you know, it's really just what everyone else is watching, and I join in. You know, I adapt.
Association.
Yeah, no, it's fun. I really got out of sports out of high school. You know, I got into flying. You know, I was pretty busy, and then I went to. It was a what are they, the for Tennessee, the hockey teams, the Predators.
Nashville Predators.
Yeah, the Predators. And they were going against Vegas's Golden Knights, my favorite team. And the Golden Knights smoked them in the last, in overtime, because they were tied up for probably a whole, like, 30 minutes, and everyone was freaking out. You know, those Predators fans are ruthless. Oh. Like, they will absolutely destroy you. They will just hurling insults at the... at the other team, and then at fan, like, I had a Golden Knights jersey on. Wow. And so I was just getting
brave
a lot
soul.
Of, they were just flipping
brave
bird
soul.
At me the whole time, and I'm like, all right. But, and then they won the last second, and I had to get out of there because I thought I was going to get attacked. But that game kind of revitalized my love of sports, and I've started to get back into it. And that's why I'm really glad about this podcast.
You know, was that game?
I think that was just like last year, right?
Last year, went down to Nashville. Why are you?
Was it Thanksgiving? Yeah.
Why are you a Golden Knights fan?
Oh, so their first year, you know, was not that long ago. Was that? It's probably
yeah,
my
few years back.
My freshman summer, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was in Canada, in Nova Scotia, and I was in some Canadian bar there, just sitting watching hockey, like you do with Canadians,
yeah, of course.
And
eh?
The
wait, after your freshman year?
Yeah, I was
thinking
the same thing. What's the math on this
going,
one?
Keep going.
It's freshman or sophomore. Yeah.
Going into sophomore.
Math's hard. Anyway. It was going.
Yeah.
In. Yeah. There, so was,
no, 2017, 2018 was their first season.
Oh, okay. You just laughed there. Okay.
We're not math majors.
I'm trying to talk about my connection to sports, and I'm getting made fun of. Anyway. I was just sitting there. I was watching the screen, and you don't think about Canadians being like very hostile. You know, there's a very big stereotype of they're very nice and stuff, mm-hmm. but not with hockey.
Oh,
and I made the mistake of cheering, of going like, just nodding at the game when the Golden Knights scored because I'm like, awesome, an American team. You know, I can't remember who were they against again. It was some Canadian team.
I wasn't there,
but I was like, anyway. Well, it was a big deal. It was right before the Stanley Cup. Like, anyway. I was like, woo, you know, just instinctively like, oh, yeah, an American team won. Everyone in the bar, like, turned to me. And I was paralyzed in fear because I don't know if you've ever seen, like, a room full of Canadians that are angry. But, oh, my soul left my body.
If we said the Canadian team, would you remember it?
No way.
Can you guys name all the Canadian teams in the NHL?
Was it the Canucks? The Canucks?
Yeah. Vancouver, Edmonton. Oh, no. We don't need to anymore.
Yeah.
Is it the Canucks? Okay.
Maple Leafs?
I think it was the
Canucks. That's a great story right there.
It is. I totally understand what you mean about, like, being in a foreign place and having everybody hate on you. When I went to the Bahamas when I was 13, my father and I, this was while the Summer Olympics were going on. My father and I stopped by KFC in Nassau, Bahamas to grab something to eat.
$5 fill up?
Something like that. I think it was a Chicken Little, actually. And there was the 100-meter dash going on, and there was a U.S. sprinter in there, and then there was also a couple Bohemians in there. And, you know, my father and I, obviously, were cheering for the guy from the United States. And everybody that was working in there was not a fan of that. They had plenty of things to say about the U.S. sprinter, how he was probably a cheater and all kinds of stuff. And I just think it's funny. It's because, you know, Americans are the same way. Sports just do it to everybody.
But do you think – I think sports – not sports. Americans have a different view of our players. We're like – well, yeah, they're supposed to be good, you know. Like, but other countries take such pride in their own players that, like, we see value in the other ones. Like, we see Usain Bolt, and we're like, that was awesome, you know. Like, he is the best.
Yeah,
and we can just kind of accept it. But some other countries, if it's not their guy, they despise you, you know.
Maybe it's because America has the cream of the crop, in a lot of sports.
Mm. Yeah,
and we just kind of take it for granted.
So many different sports,
right?
Definitely, yeah. We and they always like. Use like the cheap blows on us, like, oh, you call you know, football, but everyone else the whole world doesn't do that, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that people just like to riff on Americans, like American players.
The word soccer actually comes from England.
Yeah, I saw that.
Fun fact.
That's so funny. I feel like a lot of the thing, because I mean, we were originally a British colony, so I bet every single thing that Americans do that annoys British people probably traces back to
it's a cycle.
Other British people.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Do you guys remember like your first sports memory? Because I do. It's pretty traumatic.
What is sports memory?
Like
going to a game? Or?
Like, okay. So yeah, mine is going to a game with my dad. Because before then I was, you know, a kid. I didn't know what anything was. But then when you turn like 4 or 5, you start to remember, and then all of a sudden you're like, I remember going to this giant stadium with all these people. I don't know, and then there was a field and people running and tackling each other. It was awesome, you know. Like as a kid, you don't really understand it, but just that experience, and that's really rooted in me because you know it was a family experience. But I don't know if you guys can remember that stuff.
I have one. I playing baseball. The first time I ever played baseball, it was like a. By my elementary school, it was like a field, and we go there, and it's in a corner by these grass fields, and my dad's there, my brother's there, and I grab the bat, and it was my first time ever grabbing a bat. I'm super excited to hit, right? And so I swing as hard as I can. My dad may have flipped it to me or something, and I dead sprint, but I go to third base instead of first. Yeah. And they're like, hey, it's the other way. And I guess that's why I ended up becoming a pitcher, but that's
and a lefty,
and you never have to worry about it.
Yeah. Well, I was a right-handed hitter, so I was like, that way is going to be closer. Third base is closer than going across the batter's box to first. But that was my first time I remember playing baseball, and that's I guess a good memory. It stuck with me. I don't know if it was actually the first time, but it was probably dang near because I messed up pretty bad a fundamental of the game.
I feel like that's most kids, though. You know, when you tell them the rules, you just kind of assume that everyone knows. So when you're telling it to a kid, you're like, "Oh yeah, you just hit the ball and you run the bases and then you come back to the original one." And they're like, "Okay," they go out there and then just run the wrong way. You know, it's like was it Sandlot where they're like, "Go home," and he like just leaves, like he runs.
Yeah,
he runs away. He runs home. Oh, I love it. Yeah. I brought it up because you said like your last game, you know. So I wanted to kind of put that into perspective. So that first memory of sports, and then like think of your last game, and think of like the difference of how you think of baseball, how your life has changed, how you're totally different. You know, that's insane. Like it's such a big part of your life.
Yeah, last game.
Yeah, it sticks with you. You know.
It's
Hannibal LaGrange.
Oh goodness, that was a game. A couple games.
And Bellarmine for you.
Bellarmine, first and last.
Bellarmine, Alex Aubuchon came in through four scoreless innings and ended the year with a zero ERA.
How about it?
How about it?
He shoved. That was your last game. When was the first time you ever picked up a baseball? Did they make baseballs in your town? You probably had to drive an hour or so to get
one. Oh, man.
So, yeah, did you have to, like, make – it was like stick ball there. It's like rocks and sticks you find out outside, right?
So let me just dispel the theory that I'm from, like, the era of the Flintstones. I'm not. We do have baseballs. We have cars, too, actually, believe it or
whoa.
Not.
And stoplights?
Yeah.
Those are new, though. Those just got added.
Shoes, yeah.
Just last year.
A couple years ago, we decided clothes Walmart? Would be a good idea because it started getting cold in the winter.
It just started getting cold there?
Yeah, oh just God. Finally, yeah. Y'all are something else, I tell you what.
But
all in good fun.
Yeah, so when was that first time for you?
The first time that I picked up a baseball? Oh, goodness, probably T-ball maybe. I don't know. I don't really remember the first time I picked up a baseball, to be quite honest with you.
Do you remember, like... Well, that's I'm not. How about just what's your earliest sports memory? Like, do you remember like, oh, I was a kid and
I mean,
like pop fly.
When I was like 5 years old, I played my first basketball game, and then when, you know, they took me out because I needed a breather, I went to the wrong bench. Kind of like you, just a little mishap. I knew who my coach was. I don't know why I walked over to the other bench. I wasn't paying attention. I guess sat down, looked over to my left, and I was like. You're not Justin.
you were too focused on the game, even back then.
Exactly. Too locked in.
Too locked in.
You're not Justin.
Even from a young age.
Oh, my gosh.
That's beast.
Yeah. It's something.
Well, I don't remember the first ever time actually I picked up a baseball. I played T-ball when I was like six. I do remember I played, believe it or not, I played soccer when I was really little. Or 2 years, even though I should never be anywhere near a soccer field. But I do remember one time, I was, God, six-ish, probably, 6 years old. And me and this other kid, I don't know how this happened. It was a loose ball or something. We both kicked it at the exact same time. I guess he kicked it with his left foot. I kicked it with my right foot, and we scored. I don't know who gets the goal on that, but somehow that happened. I guess... Two's better than one, yeah. I guess. I don't know how that worked, but that's about the only memory I have from playing soccer.
You and that kid did that Dragon Ball Z fuse thing, and then you just but you did it with your foot touching the ball, and it just right into the coal.
Rocket League when they both hit.
There you go.
Rocket.
You guys play that game?
Yeah.
No.
I did when it came out. It's still got a big esports crowd.
Huge following. Yeah. Put out their first season the other day. They've reached over 1 million people.
Because it's just
players,
like a,
I should say.
Yeah, it's like a different. It's just a different soccer. It feels like, but it's a different platform.
Yeah, definitely.
More visually pleasing, probably.
Once you make it up to the higher levels, too, it's challenging. It's just quick. Everything's moving. It's a good time.
Yeah, I remember playing. It was too much for me. I couldn't win at all. All of those new train games. Like, there's one about like Astro. It's basically. What's that game you played as your friend with your friends at like camp called like Werewolf or something? Where there's one person who is the killer, and then the rest everybody else is like people of the village.
Among
Us. Yeah, is that what it is called? They're like little astronauts, and then so there's two who are infiltrators, and the rest are just crew members trying to keep the ship together.
Sounds
to get
like
to
Moff
the end.
To me, Wilco.
Mafia. That's also a version.
Moff.
Of Yeah.
Oh, esports. Wow.
Crazy.
I mean, Culver Stockton has an esports team. Esports, doesn't get as much coverage, but be QU maybe in the future have an esports team. That'd be pretty cool.
There's been conversations about it.
Kicking it around. And what that would look like, I think it's pretty cool. You have a coach, and I actually know the esports coach at Culver Stockton, and you bring them in, you say you guys are playing League of Legends, and you have strategy meetings, and you go through and you do online tournaments, and it's legit. You need a coach. It's strategy. It's discipline. One thing when we are on the subject of sports and the NCAA is esports, kind of like basketball, you can get unlimited reps. You can go shoot the hoop, and get better, right? I mean, fatigue can play a factor. But the fatigue doesn't really play a factor in esports as much. And one thing
carpal
in the
tunnel.
Yeah, I can argue with that.
It does. let me get to the second of that.
As a lazy video gamer.
But fatigue may play a factor. It definitely can. But the NCAA hasn't found a way to regulate the amount of hours that people practice, right?
Right.
So for baseball, you have a certain amount of hours a week. But for esports, they've found that a lot of these kids are like playing on their personal systems all night long, because if you're getting a scholarship, if you're getting paid, and then you can sit in your room all night and get better at what you're getting paid to do, you probably would do it. And they don't know a great way to regulate it yet. And it's a good yeah. kind of concern, because like you can put in unlimited work to get better.
Yeah. Well, it's an interesting time we live in, because with sports, you know, it's been so ingrained in society that it's like it's built into how you grow up. But not video games. Video games is like a hobby, you know, something that you pick up and then you can do it on your own. And some people fall in love with certain games and they keep playing. It's that that rush you get that, you know, like every time you like not just from winning, but from like getting a kill in Warzone or surviving in Among Us or being the imposter in Among Us. You know, people love that stuff. They just want to keep doing it. League of Legends, getting a dub in League of Legends is huge in those leagues.
It's like
in
a
those
thrill they
leagues.
Want.
It's the endorphin.
Yeah. It's all because in sports, we get it all from adrenaline, you know, like in the moment stuff, big plays. We get this. It becomes like the best feeling in the world. You know, you want to do it all the time.
Euphoria.
With esports, it's really just it's the same thing, but it's like you can't really tell, because it's not like they're not running all the way down the field, you know, getting the touchdown. You know, it's like it's more like they're sitting like this, you know, like totally motionless, except for their fingers just going at it, hitting the right keys at the right time, always focused. It's just a different game. It's like watching guys play chess, you know, like professional chess players. The amount of stuff going on in their mind is probably, you know, like
insane.
Really fast. Mm-hmm.
It'd
keep
be cool
thinking,
to like.
But on the outside, yeah. Very stoic.
Wouldn't that be cool to go inside the mind of a professional chess player?
Oh, my goodness.
I bet. Yeah.
Can you imagine what's going on in there?
It's just calculations, probably.
I wonder how many moves ahead they are.
They think out the whole game, because they think of the strategy of the other of their opponent.
Yeah.
And that's something I've never comprehended in chess, you know, cuz it's such a weird game to learn. You're like, I can barely keep track of my own moves, let alone the other person. But what they do is they memorize all the legal moves of the game, and they really just try to it's all just predictions of what they're going to do. So if they move this pawn forward, oh, that's this 100 different move sets that they'll probably use because they were, you know, like
yeah,
it's
yeah.
like it's like known strategy. It's like it's just sports.
It's like
yeah.
schemes in football.
Yeah,
like Bill Belichick and all the great coaches and all the quarterbacks. Like you see Tony Romo, he knows what the offense is going to do before they even snap the ball.
Yeah,
he knows what the defense is going to do before. I mean, it's kind of the same thing.
And also similar, like in Fortnite, when you're in that final battle and like you're going to build all the way up and then he builds around, like, and they're going crazy. It's kind of similar, but also they're going so crazy. And that's, remember when people first started getting their first Fortnite wins, this video game, when you got a battle royale, 100 people, and then you all drop and the last one standing wins. That's a victory, and people get hyped for that.
Yeah.
I mean, to the extent that when UMBC beat Virginia, one of the players said, "What did this feel like?" And he said, "This felt like getting your first Fortnite dub. Like, you're so happy." And they were so happy to beat Virginia. Like, so you do still get that euphoria, that thrill, and it's addicting. I mean, that's why we're on these little things all day to tell us what we want to do all day, talking about our phones. I mean, it's like a full-time job. I'm on there like 4, 5, 6, 7 hours a day sometimes when I get those screen time reports. It's crazy.
Oh, man. It kind of just soaks up your life, you know, if you're not careful. But I think out of all of the things I can be, you know, we can be addicted to, I feel like it's not that bad, you know, sports.
There are a lot worse things.
Yeah, it's I mean, it's everyone's a part of it. You know, I think the worst probably
our phones would be, and technology is like, it's crazy because we need them to watch sports.
Yeah, yeah. It's I don't know what I do without my phone. Like, I guess I'd have to go, especially right now with, you know, there's nowhere to go to watch. Like, because I was trying to figure out where I'm going to watch the debate. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it's online. You know, so it's, but that I had a thought for a moment, like, there's nowhere to go. Like,
we wouldn't, I don't know where we would. I honestly, I had a speech in public speaking class. There was like five items. And one of them was my phone. I put on there like that define you or talk about you. And I was like, hey, I had to put this in there. I'm on it all the time. It's like a full-time job. And I honestly don't even know how people hung out before phones. Like I've said that, like, I don't even know how people got anywhere. Like I don't know.
Yeah. I'm definitely addicted because I listen, I'm constantly listening to stuff on my phone. So it's like from when I go to bed to when I wake up, it's probably something playing on my phone.
How do you think you'd do a week, 2 weeks without your phone?
I wouldn't do well.
If I was here in my dorm room, I would die. It's so boring.
I would honestly probably start shaking.
Is it that essential to your life?
It would have something else
no,
big
not,
would have to be
it's
happening.
It's not that essential, but like I'm that addicted. Mm. That like I would probably start shaking. I would.
You just get nervous.
You might get really skinny because I'd probably just go running or something. I'd find something else. Yeah.
You just immediately pick up really good habits. Like like the first day, you're like, I should just go run.
This is a habit we all have. I just watched a Netflix documentary. It's called The Social Dilemma. And they talk about how they get paid the longer we're on our phone. And they like push notifications and pop things up on our phone to keep us on our phone longer. You guys should, I would highly recommend watching it because like we all spend time on devices and it's crazy. And usually it is sports, but still it's the same addictive path. And then you get, like we talked about before the podcast, you get in that rabbit hole and you're in there for 20, 30 minutes.
Yeah. Usually longer.
Yeah. It's whoever came up with this, it's just a really well thought with an iPhone. It's just a really well thought out plan because it's, They got them early. They hooked in people, and now the popularity is so big and it's so integral to life.
Not because Shane though. He's got the green messages.
Oh really? Well, it's still a phone. You know, it's like it still has internet. It still does everything that you need in a phone, because they've made us where we like things to be easy now, super easy. Just look up anything, and iPhone, I feel like, is the easiest when it's getting new phones because, oh, I already know what this product is going to be like. It's going to be fine until the next phone's released, and then it's just going to be slow and I buy a new one. So it's the pattern is developed, and people get used to it.
Do you think that iPhone users are more dependent on their phone than Android users or people who use other phones?
Let's ask Shane.
I don't know. I don't know how you could answer that question.
Here, let's just go with this. Are you on your phone a lot?
Yes.
What are you drawn to on your phone? Do you use it like for everything or just
this is like Alcoholics Anonymous. Like how much are you on your phone?
Tell us about your problem.
Show us your screen time. I know that's what does you have screen time for yours?
I can find it. Hold on.
This is a safe. Mine is probably my phone's just always on. I don't think I ever turn it off.
The screen time is crazy. Yeah. I'll pop mine up right now. Be fully transparent.
I'm going to look at it, and then if it's too bad, I'm not going to.
My daily average, 5 hours and 14 minutes, and that's 20% down from last week. So I was like almost six.
Yeah, where is that at? Is that
I'm at 4 hours and 59 minutes, and that's down a whopping 37% from last week.
I think it's down because we're early in the week.
Very true. I just haven't had enough time to waste on my phone yet.
You've had those.
Is it a waste? I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like, well, it's interesting because you have the breakdown. It's like 6 of the hours are social network, mm-hmm. 3 of them are entertainment, and 47 of my minutes are productivity. That's this week. So
yeah, I had to delete social media stuff. Like, I have Snapchat because that's how I talk to my friends, but like Instagram, I never get on, and then Facebook is just dead. It's like a dead page for me.
Yeah, but you can look at the previous weeks, and messages is always my top one. Like, I had 12 hours on messages, like, last week. And then Safari, and then YouTube. So those are my top three. But it's interesting. It's interesting.
I got Snapchat up at the top. That's no surprise.
See, I'll tell you how addicted I turned off the setting where your phone automatically locks. You know? You know how when you leave it for like 15 minutes, like it'll turn off, or 5 minutes it'll turn off. I turn that off, and so my screen, like last night, it was on all night. So it's 19 hours.
That's wild.
Of screen time. Yeah, the only time it wasn't was
Yeah, so I averaging 6 hours a day, it's kind of is like a full time job. So
what do you use the most?
It's they should pay us. What do I use most? Messages.
Really?
Yeah, it's like 12 hours.
Wow. I use YouTube mainly. I listen to a lot of podcasts on that instead of getting like Spotify and stuff.
My daily average this week is 3 hours.
Man, he's the best man here.
It's but that's maybe already a dramatic difference. See, you guys had exactly the same. Mine's over because you know I'm a gremlin. I gotta have my phone on all the time. But like that's automatically a dramatic difference. That's 2 hours gone.
But it could, yeah. I think it's Android maybe.
It's just they get on it and they're like,
what if we just went back to flip phones? Would we be more productive?
Oh, I definitely would be where it's just the beep and I'm like, hello, and that's it. Like, you try to text me, I'd be like, no, no way. I'm not going back to that.
Take 5 minutes just to send a text.
Oh my God. Yeah, because you got to press the button like 3 or 4 times.
You got like three or four letters on each number.
Well, that's when we thought the biggest struggle in the world is when you type, what, you have to tap to get an S, you have to touch it 4 times or something. Like, they had
that's one of those lost talents. Have you seen how fast people can do that? I saw girls back in the day, like, where it's, you know, their nails are clicking on the thing. They're like, it would scare me. It was I'm just like, you know, like an old man. I, one finger just boop. Like, that's how I have to put the numbers in. But then I see these girls, they were, like, texting, like, these long paragraphs. And then you're like, how? There's no way. But I think that's a hidden talent that people still have. And so one day when the flip phone comes back, they're like, it's my time to shine.
It'll come back, I think. It'll be called the dumb phone movement.
The dumb phone instead of the smart phone. Yeah, yeah. They're like, we need to go back. We're too advanced. We need to go back.
Don't they say trends like recycle themselves? What is that, every 30 years or something like that?
I think it will, like, because we are, like, the smartphone is kind of polluting our information a lot too.
Yeah, but something about that is some people say the iPhone is actually just an add-on to the trend of the watch and stuff, because back in the day it was a pocket watch, so you would always go into your pocket and pull out the time. And that's what we do with phones now. And then they developed the Apple Watch. And then you're looking at your wrist again. So it's like the same progression of watches happened with the phone as well, the iPhone.
It's an interesting way to look at it.
Yeah, the trends, it's everything is like people just for some reason, you know, instinctively just boom, time.
What about the trend of a guy in the league for 17 years going to get another title?
LeBron James.
Tonight he kicks off.
You think? Yeah. You think what? Lakers. What was your? What's your prediction, Will?
Lakers in five.
You only giving the Heat one game.
I think they can get a game. Bam is. I don't think a match. It's just the Lakers have too many bigs. I mean, you could put Dwight Howard out there, like, and that's just like one of their guys on the bench. Like, you know, they. Like, they just got too many big guys. I think Tyler Hero, he's a great player coming off the bench, but they're not half as deep as the Lakers, and I don't see anybody stopping AD. I think Jimmy Butler can get some here and there. I think Goran Dragic is good, but I don't see anybody stopping LeBron. And I don't – Bam, if Bam tries to play the whole game – he's either going to foul out or be tired because AD is still going to eat off anybody. So, I don't know. What do you guys think?
I mean, I like the Lakers, but I think people are – I've heard that it's starting to shift a little bit more, but the Heat just have – they just feel like there's always that team that just for that one season just has it, just has that magic or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
The Lakers are by far, in my opinion, and most people's opinions who know a lot about it, are the better team, and it's really not all that close. But look at what the Heat have done. I mean, they smashed the Bucks. They played the Celtics. I mean, they dominated that series. They won in 5 games. Mm. I mean, they're on some kind of, they've lost, what, two games the whole playoffs? They're on some kind of roll right now, and when things are clicking, like, their chemistry, like, people talk about, I mean, chemistry is sometimes an overused word in sports, especially when it comes to, like, big-time organizations, like professional teams and stuff like that. The Heat, that locker room is so close, and they play so well together that they don't need a LeBron James. They don't need an Anthony Davis.
they have a bunch of guys that can get the job done, and they play good defense, execute, and really that's all you need to do.
Yeah, I agree. It's a well-rounded team is better through and through. Also, East Coast is better. So, so I'd say. Sorry, that was controversial. I agree. I agree with Shane. I think Miami's got it. I'm actually more confident in that.
Wow.
I tell you what. Wow. The Heat do have that insatiable it factor that, you know, one team always comes out with. Great example of that, 2011 Cardinals. It's not about who's the best. It's about who's hot right now. And it's not always true, though, because, you know, you're running into LeBron and a brick wall in the Lakers. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you really are pulling for the Heat. You want the Heat to win.
Yeah.
You're watching them, you know, beat these teams that a lot of people thought they had no business even playing with. You know, Jimmy's out here, proud papa of a self-proclaimed bucket. And like it's fun to watch. It really is. And that team has some dogs on it. They fight. They want to win basketball games.
Gritty.
They're definitely not the most gritty. Definitely not the most talented. Nowhere near the amount of talent of the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
they do
you never know.
They do have good talent.
They have talent. I mean, you get to this point.
Well, yeah, but they don't have the Lakers talent.
They don't have the Lakers.
But other than the Lakers, LeBron and AD, the Lakers aren't, like, great. But, like, you have – I think the Heat are deeper, you could even argue.
They have
fourth options, fifth options is Crowder. And then you have Bam. You have Dragic, you have Hero.
Duncan Robinson.
Duncan Robinson, who's blowing things up, and then you have Jimmy Buckets, who's an emerging star, who basically is a star.
Yeah.
But then I think on the other side, there's kind of that it factor, but there's also a GOAT factor and best big man in the world factor. So it's tough. It's tough.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to think you're going to lose if you got a Superman on your team. You know, I should say.
The GOAT factor, you know, is always in play, and as much as I would love Miami to win – best I could see it is, I mean, Lakers in five, maybe six.
Yeah, I was like four, maybe five, so we'll see.
This guy.
It's worse.
But we got Cardinals today. We got that, but we also got, you want us to talk about Sean Payton? He's one part of the picks, so let's go recap the picks. I'm surprised you didn't do that earlier because you're in first place, buddy, Shane.
Don't want to brag. I am a self-proclaimed humble host, so I don't want to brag too much. So,
and you weren't saying that before the recording. No,
through 2 weeks of picks, Will, an even 5-5. Wyatt, an even 5-5 as well. Alex, rough week after a good week one. Of course, no show last week, so no picks. 3-2 the first week, 1-4 in week two. Rough outing for Mr. Aubuchon. And opposite for me, went 4-1, 6-4 right now. So,
you know.
What, four win? Like, there's only a few games that separate us. It's going to be a tight race to the finish.
Yeah, definitely.
And of course, Alex was the only one who had a winning record week one, and now he's.
And then I bet on the Falcons, which is something I said not to do in week one. And I did it anyway. They got my hopes up, and you all know what happened.
Yep. All right, all
right, let's get right into it.
Let's roll it.
So this team has been a part of every week's picks so far. We got the Browns at 2-1 visiting the Cowboys at Jerry World at 1-2. Wyatt, what say you?
I always go with the Cowboys. I can't switch it up. You know? I don't know if that's true. But in this scenario, I'm going to say Cowboys.
Well,
they're at Jerry's World. You have Dak Prescott coming off a great game. You've got way too many weapons. The Browns won't be able to guard him. The Browns' best weapon is they have the best two running back punch in the league by far. Not close. Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. But they're not going to have to run. They're going to be – the game's going to rely on passing in a shootout because Dak's going to put up points, and I say Dak, and the Cowboys win.
Over 450 yards last week, something like that. Three solid wideouts. I mean – I still don't have a whole lot of faith in Baker Mayfield. So even though the running for the Browns is exceptional, the running for the Cowboys, no slouch. I got the Cowboys.
Alex is going with the Cowboys. So my key to this game is whether or not the Cowboys can stop the run. Browns probably had the best running back tandem in the league with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. The Cowboys' defense is not the greatest. That's putting it lightly. Whatever, I haven't checked the lines on this, but whatever the over is, smash the heck out of the over. This is going to be a high-scoring game. Yes.
The Browns can't move high-scoring. The ball, though. They can only run. That's
still moving the ball,
but
isn't
what
it?
Dak's going to be going nuts?
Baker was slinging it around the last couple weeks.
I'm here for your pick. I'm here for it.
Brownies.
Bold.
I like the Browns, too.
I know.
But I just can't pick them over the team who almost beat the best team in the NFC.
The Browns could definitely take this football game.
I like them, but not –
like them enough.
Yeah. So we got, what, three Cowboys and a Browns? So somebody might be happy. Shane could pick up some games on us.
All right, this next one, a matchup of one and – a pair of 1-2 teams. Didn't think we'd be saying this. Trying to – one team that – halted a mini two-game losing skid last week, and another who's trying to end a two-game losing skid. Saints at the Lions. Wyatt, get us started.
You know what? I'm gonna go with the Lions.
Ooh, upset.
It's really difficult, you know. But I'm gonna go out on a limb. Lions. Lions got it.
That's fair. I mean, Lions just beat the Cardinals on a game-winning field goal for somehow. But if I had to have a lock of the week for any NFL game I could pick, I'd pick the Saints over the Lions. I'd empty all the pockets, throw the house on it. I mean, I don't know if – I'd say the Lions don't score. I mean, they might get a touchdown, maybe one. They're not going to move on the Saints. You got Matthew Stafford and Galladay. That's it. T.J. Hockenson, okay. Michael Thomas is back in action. Drew Brees already got chemistry now with E-Man hitting a touchdown to him. I mean, yeah, I could see 42-7 Saints. I could see it being bad. I could see it being real bad. I got Saints lock of the week.
See, I don't know why you had to, you know, like, shove my face in the dirt like that.
Well, you could be right.
You're like, why? I take your answer, and I'm going to say you're wrong.
Hey, if Detroit wins, we got a great soundbite for next week's show.
We do.
But you know, after saying that, I'm gonna have to agree with Will. You know, empty all the coffers and put them on your boys, and that your boys is not Matt Stafford. I'm going with the Saints.
Saints. That's all I need to say. Revenge game.
Is each pick going to be 1-3?
I mean.
First two, if that's a trend. We'll see about this next one. So the 3-0 Bills visiting the 2-1 Raiders, who had a chance to go 3-0 last week, but Patriots.
Bills.
Spanked them. Bills. So the Bills right now, first place in the AFC East. Wyatt?
Bills.
Bills?
100%.
I'm not buying the Bills. I mean, if the Bills were in the NFC West, they'd be the worst team. They'd be the worst team in the NFC West. And people are talking about the Bills. People are talking about the Bills being the third best team in the AFC. That's trash. The Josh Allen's good, but I'll take the Raiders.
Yeah. The Raiders are good.
You know,
that's a hard decision. Sorry.
No. I still need to think. This is an interesting one. I didn't even think that the Bills should have won last week.
They shouldn't have.
Definitely should not have. That was the
game was rigged.
Yeah.
The referee lost it for them.
Yeah, but you know it is what it is. They're 3-0, but I think they're about to be 3-1. I think the Raiders got them.
I think we're gonna have an even split here. I like Buffalo. I think Buffalo moves to 4-0.
It's hard to bet against them.
All right, then possibly. The game of the week, Patriots at Kansas City. Cam Newton against Patrick Mahomes. Wyatt, who do you like?
I'm loyal, man. I gotta go Mahomes. You know, it's like, you gotta go Kansas City.
I'm with it. Mahomes, too. I mean, you can't bet against Mahomes. They were the favorites, and they just crushed the Raiders. I mean, Bill Belichick stopped Darren Waller on the Raiders, right? But you can't stop Sammy Watkins, Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman, Travis Kelce, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Like, you can't, you know, they have too many weapons. So, I got Chiefs 21-20 game. It'll be close.
After watching the Chiefs and the Ravens, I can't bet against the Chiefs. Like Will said, there's just so many ways they can hurt you. And, you know, the Ravens weren't even doing a terrible job of putting pressure on Mahomes. But, you know, he'd just go out of the pocket, find somebody. Because there's always somebody when you have that many weapons. Just flick it down there, gain some yards, keep moving down the field. Chiefs are going to take this one.
I mean, look at what Mahomes did last week. He did a fake jump pass just for the heck of it, goes out and runs for 10 yards, throws an underhand screen pass to a fullback, and throws a touchdown to an offensive lineman. I mean, if how do you stop that? You don't. That's the Chiefs.
The way
are
the
Super Bowl champions
played,
and they look like the Super Bowl champions.
And everyone said the Chiefs didn't prepare for the Chargers. They had to go into overtime, and they didn't. They were spending all that week preparing for the Ravens, obviously, and they beat them, and they beat the Chargers. So they're nice.
All right, so a clean sweep, Chiefs across the board. Nobody likes the Pats in that ball game. So the final one, Monday Night Football, 0-3 against 3-0. The Falcons going into Lambeau Field. Have a feeling this might be another sweep, but Wyatt, get things started.
Should we all be nice and go for the Falcons?
It's not about being nice.
No, I'm not sure anybody has any
mercy
for the
Falcons. You
can
pick, you can go with the other team, and then we'll go with the Falcons. Well, as we know, you know, the Falcons seem to have like a bad luck streak.
I don't know if that's luck.
I don't know what. I don't know if it's them having bad luck or if it's Alex having bad luck, but. Yeah, I don't think they got it. Yeah, no. I don't know.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers, I'd say I put the over under for fantasy points at 32.5 for him. I think he'll probably have over 300 yards, 3-4 touchdowns. Atlanta's defense is terrible. Their secondary sucks. They have more time to prepare for that. The Packers do. It's going to be ugly, but it will be a high-scoring game. Matt Ryan will get his. He'll get his here and there. I got Packers. I got Aaron Rodgers really torching the Falcons. And then in the second half, they're just going to give it to Aaron Jones because they're probably going to be up by a few touchdowns.
I agree with you. I think that Aaron Rodgers is going to cook them. Aaron Rodgers has been cooking all year. Didn't have Devontae Adams last week, so what's he going to do instead? Just throw it to Lazard. No problem.
Lazard,
you're fine.
150.
No, that man he makes receivers better. And, oh, my goodness, I can't imagine them losing this football game. Obviously, you know, it could be a shootout because, you know, Matt Ryan's just going to throw the ball down to Ridley Gage or Julio Jones. Is Jones back?
He's still questionable.
Ridley's like one of the best receivers in the league.
Might be the best receiver. Fantasy-wise. One of the best receivers fantasy-wise in the league
now. I'd go D-Hop, but yeah.
High-scoring game, maybe, probably. Who knows? Definitely for the Packers, but it's going to be the Packers.
I think the Packers are putting up 40 again this week.
Yes.
They scored the fewest amount of points they've scored all year last week at 37.
Yeah, they had, 1,000 yards of offense through their first two games. That was like QU football team last year.
We got another clean sweep. Packers, there's no way they lose this game.
No way.
It'll be a shootout. The Falcons may put up a fight in the first three quarters, but the Packers are just way too much. And the Packers defense, they're not all that bad. They're not as bad as people make them out to be. They're solid. Za'Darius Smith on the outside. Rushing the passer, Jair Alexander. Especially if Julio Jones is out, I don't see any way Falcons go into Lambeau and beat Aaron Rodgers and the Packers the way they're playing right now. Mm. All righty. Any last thoughts, fellas? First of all, let's run through the picks again just to recap. So Browns at Cowboys. Everyone besides myself has the Cowboys. I went Browns. Wyatt, Will, and Alex went with the boys. How about them Cowboys? And then Saints at Lions. Wyatt was the lone wolf picking the Lions. Everyone else went Saints.
This is my Falcons moment.
Very bold move. You saw how the Falcons moment went for me. Enjoy yours.
Yeah.
Bills, Raiders. We were split right down the middle. Wyatt, myself with the Bills. Will and Alex went with the Raiders to get back to 3-1. Patriots at Chiefs. All of us went with Mahomes and the boys and the Chiefs.
And then Falcons, Packers, Monday Night Football, Green Bay for all four of us. So that'll do it for this edition of QTV Hawk Talk Podcast. For Wyatt, Will, and Alex, I'm Shane. Thank you for tuning in, and catch you next time.
That went pretty good.